Philemon. Over the last several weeks, we've looked at the first seven verses of this short letter, and as we've mentioned, a very personal nature of the book of Philemon, only 25 verses, and we spent several weeks looking at the introduction of this book, and in the last several verses, verses 4 through 7, we took 2 weeks to look at that portion of Scripture, and as you look at verses 4 through 7, you read of how Paul is praying for Philemon. And of course, we mentioned, as Paul often would reference to those that he's writing to, whether they're individuals or whether it's a church, that he's praying for them. And what a blessing, the importance, the priority of prayer in the lives of God's people. And so we're thankful for that. And then you find not only Paul's prayer for Philemon, but then you read of Paul's praise of Philemon. You find that Paul is acknowledging the testimony of this man, Philemon. He had a godly testimony. And we find that Paul recognizes his godly behavior. We find that he mentions in verse number 5, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. And what a joy to consider the testimony of this man Philemon. And Paul is mentioning how that he's heard of his testimony. And we find that Paul is rejoicing in the way that God has used Philemon. And what a joy to know that God uses his servants, and that Philemon was used of the Lord. According to verse number 7, he was able to refresh the saints, the brethren, through his love and through his ministry. And so what a joy and what a blessing. As we move into the section that we'll study this evening in verses 8 through 14, you find that it's here in this portion of Scripture that Paul introduces, really, if I would call it, the main purpose, if you will, of the letter. There's a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus, and we find that his name has not yet been mentioned in this book through the first seven verses, but as we come here to the section in which we'll be studying this evening, we are introduced to this one, Onesimus. And we find that it was in God's providence that as Onesimus fled from Philemon, it seems as if, and as you look at the passage of Scripture, that probably fled and probably stole some things when he did, and you find that he ends up in Rome and in a bustling place like Rome, in God's providence, Onesimus meets Paul. Isn't that awesome? And you think about the Lord and His working, and we mention how that we have divine appointments. And as I think about the way in which God orchestrated to bring this runaway slave Onesimus into the presence of Paul, and of course Paul would lead him to Christ, I think about those divine appointments that God would give us and the times in our lives in which God will divinely bring somebody to cross paths with us for the purpose of us having that opportunity to share the truth of the gospel with them. And what a joy and what a blessing to think about that truth this evening. The reality is that there are days in which we may be going through the mundane tasks, if you will, and just kind of going through the process of whatever's on our calendar. But God can bring some people into our lives for a purpose of bringing honor and glory to Him. Notice in verse number 9, the Bible says, "Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." We'll actually look at verses 8 through 14, but we've used the title this evening, or we've taken from verse number 9 for our title this evening, "Yet for love's sake." Yet for love's sake. Now it's interesting because Paul has already mentioned in his praise of Philemon, he's already talked about the love of Philemon. He's already mentioned in verse number 5 that he, Paul, heard of his love. And he says, the love that you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. And we mentioned it's important that we love our Savior, and it's also important that we love the saints. If we love the Redeemer, we're going to love the redeemed. We've been studying in the book of 1 John for a number of weeks now, as we've had for the entirety of the year looking at the book of 1 John. But in the last several weeks, the subject matter of the love for the brethren. And what a joy to think about the truth that God has given us in His Word with regard to loving the brethren. It does not mean that we turn a blind eye, that we just let anything go and what have you. But, you know, love really goes a long way. And we find that we're to have fervent charity one toward another. And you notice that Paul says, yet for love's sake. And we'll use that for the title this evening. As we look at the passage, I want you to notice, first of all, we're going to look at verses 10 and 11, and then we'll deal with the remainder of the text. But look at verses 10 and 11. Notice, if you're taking notes, the redemption of Onesimus. Notice how Paul refers to Onesimus. He says this. He's speaking to Philemon, of course, writing to him, and he says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. When you notice the redemption of Onesimus, it's interesting as Paul refers to him. He says, I beseech thee for my son. Now, oftentimes as we think about Paul using that language, we think of Timothy. And we see how that Paul refers to Timothy as being his son in the faith. And he uses that terminology towards Titus as well. But we see that he's using that terminology in reference to Onesimus and this runaway slave that's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We find that he says, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus. And then notice what he says at the end of verse number 10, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So we understand, as Paul was writing, as we did the introduction to this book of Philemon, and as you speak about the prison epistles, you'll find that Paul is facing some difficult times, if you will. There's times of difficulty, adversity that he's facing, but even in the times of trouble, in the times of difficulty, we see that Paul has a perspective that is eternal. He's witnessing, he's sharing the gospel, and in his bonds, he says that Onesimus was saved. Onesimus came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That's where we get this truth. He says, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, isn't that wonderful? Because the reality is that there are times in our lives when we deal with difficulties, when we deal with less than desirable circumstances, and perhaps one of the last things on our mind is to share the gospel with someone. Because we get so caught up with what our problems are and what our situation is and what's going on in our own lives. But we find that Paul, as he's there in that Roman prison, as he's dealing with what he's dealing with, we know that he would soon be facing a martyr's death, that Paul is still busy preaching the gospel. In fact, we're mindful of the fact that as he writes to the believers in Philippi, of course, a city in which he had found himself in prison there as well, that he says that the things that happened unto me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. As we begin to think about the perspective of Paul, and we see it on display here as he would speak about the conversion of Onesimus, and he'd been redeemed in this time in which Paul is in bonds. Notice this, there's been a great change in the life of Onesimus. Notice how Paul mentions it in verse number 11. Notice what he says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. And I want you to focus on those phrases where he says, in time past, but now. In time past, but now. What made the difference? What changed between being unprofitable and being profitable? His conversion. And we find that Paul would mention, as he's writing to the believers there in the region of Galatia, and as these churches would receive this truth with regard to the conversion of Paul, it says this in Galatians 1 and verse 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. There was a great change in the life of Paul. And we see here in the life of Onesimus that as Paul is writing to Philemon, he says, listen, let me tell you about the redemption. Let me tell you about the salvation, the conversion of this man Onesimus. He refers to him as his son. He says, I've begotten him in my bonds. And he says, listen, I understand in times past he was unprofitable. But now, because of his conversion, because he's been saved, not only, Philemon, is he profitable to thee, but Philemon, I want you to know that he's profitable to me. Paul saying that? He's saying, this man, Onesimus, is profitable to me. Notice as you look at the text of Scripture, we've looked at verses 10 and 11, but verse 8, 9, and then really verses 12 through 14 deal with our second thought this evening, the request of Paul. We read of the redemption of Onesimus, that he got saved, he's been converted, he's been born again. But now I want you to notice the request of Paul in verses 8, 9, and then verse 12 through 14. Notice what Paul says in verse number 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. As you look at verses 8 and 9, you find that Paul is going to really give the basis, if you will, for the request that he's going to make. The details are not provided in verses 8 and 9 with regard to the request that Paul is going to make, but you notice that he's gearing it up. He's letting Philemon know that he's going to make a request. Instead of Paul ordering or commanding Philemon to do something, we find that he's going to appeal to Philemon on the basis of love. There in verse number 8, when it says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, that word enjoin means to command, to charge, or to order. And we find that Paul's saying, listen, I'm not going to use my office of being an apostle to command you to do this thing. Rather, verse number 9, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. We find that Paul is providing for us here the basis of his appeal, this request that he's going to make. Again, the details are provided in verses 12 through 14 as to the request that Paul would be making here to Philemon. But we find that he's appealing to the basis of his appeal is love. Notice he said already in verse number 5, listen, Philemon, I've heard how you've had love toward all saints. Well, now this man Onesimus, he's no longer just a runaway slave. He's a saint. He's a saint. He's been born again. He's been redeemed. And so we find that Paul says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. Of course, we're familiar with that word beseech, where it carries with it that idea, the context of begging. He says, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so Paul's going to make this request. Of course, we've read verses 10 and 11 already, and we've looked at that in our first point. And we find that it's in those verses of Scripture that Paul recognizes some things about Onesimus, and really is going to set the table, if you will, for then making the details of his request known here to Philemon. He says, listen, Onesimus, he's been redeemed. Onesimus is profitable, but Onesimus is returning. Notice in verse number 12, whom I have sent again. So in verses 10 and 11, he's talking about Onesimus. He's talking about his conversion. He's talking about this great change that he's now profitable to thee and to me. And now Paul says in verse number 12, whom I have sent again. Now, I can't imagine all that takes place. I wonder, as I was preparing this the study for this evening, I wonder, as I think about Paul sending Onesimus back, and Onesimus knew what was at stake. He knew what the Roman law was with regard to a runaway slave. He knew that Philemon had every right to press charges and how awful that would be for him as a runaway slave. And I wonder the conversation that took place between Paul and Onesimus, for Paul to convince Onesimus to go back, and as he would begin to give him instruction and help him understand. We understand this evening that one of the pillars of biblical Christianity is forgiveness. And reconciliation would be a second pillar. You think about forgiveness and reconciliation as it's seen here in the book of Philemon. I'm thankful that our God is ready to forgive. I'm ready that we've been reconciled. Listen, we didn't deserve forgiveness. Amen? But our God is gracious and He's merciful. And we find here that Paul says, whom I have sent again. And so Paul is saying, listen, this man Onesimus, you know who he is. You know he's been missing. You know that he's been unprofitable to thee. But Onesimus got saved and he's now profitable and he's returning. The Bible continues as Paul would kind of give the detail of the request here. Notice in verse number 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Notice as Paul says to Philemon, very simply, receive him. Don't reject him. Don't carry out the penalty against him that really he deserves, but receive him. He says, that is mine own bowels, just as you would receive me. This is my brother, my son in the faith. And we find that he says, notice in verse number 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Notice what Paul says in verse number 13. Paul's saying, listen, I've sent him. He's returning to you. And Philemon, I want you to receive him just as you would receive me. Receive him. And he says, I would have retained him. Remember, Paul said in verse number 11, not only now is he profitable for thee, Philemon, but also for me. And so Paul is saying, I would have kept him here. I would have retained him with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. I mean, this man Onesimus, he got saved and his life was changed. And you find that Paul's saying, listen, he is profitable. It was in my mind to keep him here. But notice as he continues in verse number 14, he says, but without thy mind would I do nothing. In other words, Paul's saying this, Philemon, it was within my mind to keep him here, but I would not do that because that would be a violation. And without your mind, without your consent, without your willingness to allow him to minister in this capacity, without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. As we look at the request that Paul makes, it's very simple that he would receive him. And I believe that it's not worded here, but obvious, is given to us that Philemon would forgive Onesimus, that he would forgive him. There's a potential that as you read verses 13 and 14, that it's also the fact that perhaps he would return Onesimus to serve with Paul. And you see that Paul's made it known that that was something that was within his mind to retain him, and certainly a possibility for Philemon to make that decision. We think about the reception, you think about the forgiveness. The reality this evening is that the book, as I mentioned in our very first study, the book of Philemon, as we were going to embark on this journey on Wednesday evenings of just studying briefly for several weeks through this book, that there's very specific details here with regard to a very specific relationship. But we find that God in His wisdom, in His sovereignty, He has chosen to preserve this short book, this 25-verse letter in our English Bibles that Paul was used under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to write to Philemon. He's preserved it for us, and all Scripture is profitable, the Bible tells us. And no doubt, even as we look at the details here of Philemon and Onesimus and all that's taken place, we find that even still today, there is a need for forgiveness amongst the people of God. A need for forgiveness. And we think about this subject of forgiveness, and of course, we're many of us, as soon as you think about the subject of forgiveness, perhaps you think of Peter, as he said to Jesus, till seven times. And of course, we think about the Peter standing up and speaking on behalf of the disciples, and really commendable in what his acknowledgement that we're going to do better than the religious leaders and we'll forgive till seven times. But Jesus says, I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times seven. when Jesus tells them, as it's recorded in the book of Luke, that they're to forgive, and if your brother comes and offends you multiple times in the same day, that you're to forgive, the response of the disciples is this: increase our faith. Now think about that. It requires faith. And as I think about this subject matter of Onesimus and Philemon, and we think about the particular era in which this was written and the customs and cultures of the time, listen, it was within Philemon's rights to press charges against Onesimus. It was completely within his rights to do so, and this would have had severe consequences for Onesimus. But we find that Paul comes along because God in his sovereignty allowed for Onesimus and Paul to meet in Rome, and Onesimus got saved. And Paul says, for love's sake, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, receive him, forgive him. He's been changed. He's now profitable, Philemon, because he's been changed. He's now not no longer really just holding the previous titles that he held, but he's a saint. He's a brother in Christ. Turn back to the book of Ephesians, and we'll finish here with the thought with regard to forgiveness. I understand that as the people of God, there are times in which we've been hurt. There are times in which we've had people wrong us. I've often said that if we refuse to forgive, not only are we lacking a measure of obedience to the Word of God, but we're really hurting ourselves. Because bitterness, as one man said of yesteryear, will destroy the vessel in which it's stored more than the vessel in which it's poured. And you find here in verse number 32 of Ephesians 4, notice what the Word of God says. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I'm so thankful that I've been forgiven. Aren't you? To have that confidence that we stand forgiven, that we stand redeemed, that God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. Again, as I mentioned several minutes ago, we didn't deserve forgiveness. But forgiveness, as the Word of God tells us, is an attribute of our God. He is ready to pardon. He is ready to forgive. And as the people of God that are supposed to follow the example of the Lord, that we too are to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. We understand the basis here of Paul's request. He says, yet for love's sake. I can't imagine, with the events that must have unfolded, I can't imagine the potential difficulty of the meeting between Philemon and Onesimus. The potential difficulty, right? You think about Onesimus taking the counsel from Paul to return. You think about Philemon reading this and hearing this request that Paul has made. This evening, as the people of God, we must have love one for another. We understand that, the importance of love. By this, by what? By our love one for another, will all men know that you're my disciples. But we also see that there should be forgiveness. And Paul says, I'm beseeching thee for my son, Onesimus. I'm not commanding you, though I could. I'm appealing to love, yet for love's sake. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for loving us. God, we thank you for this book, the personal aspect, personal nature of this book. And yet, as we read it and we study it and we see that there's obvious reasons why it's inspired and preserved for us. As human beings, we have interactions one with another, and even as the people of God, we have interactions one with another. There are times in which we may offend one another. God, I pray that you'd help us to love you supremely as we're commanded to do so, and we know that we love you because you first loved us. And I pray that you'd help us to love the brethren, that we'd love one another, that we'd increase more and more, as it's said of the church in Thessalonica. I pray, God, that you would help us to forgive as the plea is made here to Philemon from Paul on the behalf of Onesimus. I thank you for this man's conversion. I thank you that a man that was unprofitable is now profitable because of the Holy Spirit of God who now indwelled him and would use him for your honor and for your glory. God, I pray that we would understand the importance of forgiveness and that we'd be a forgiving people. I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer as we receive updates. And Lord, I pray that as we come before your throne, I pray that you'd move and work as only you can. We thank you that we have confidence that you hear us and that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Bless now, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.